welcome to our ordinary council meeting for Wednesday the 26th of February. I'd like to declare the meeting open at 5:35 and in doing so respectfully acknowledge the Gadiyara people whose land we're on this evening, respectfully acknowledging the contribution of Gadiyara elders past, present and future in all working together for the betterment of the future city of Port Hedland. Welcome.
Thank you, madam.
Thank you.
Okay, in terms of attendance, we have apologies from Councillor Van Voort and Councillor Jacob. The rest in attendance as here. Approved leave of absence, there is nil. Item 3, response to previous questions taken on notice. Questions from the public at the ordinary council meeting held on Wednesday the 29th of January 2014, there are nil. 3.2, questions from elected members at the ordinary council meeting held on Wednesday the 29th of January 2014, there are nil. This brings us to public time. Item 4, important note, this meeting is being recorded on audio tape as an additional record of the meeting and it is to assist in the minute taking purposes which may be released upon request to third parties. If you do not give permission for your recording of your participation, please indicate this at the outset, please. The public is also reminded that in accordance with section 20.3 of the Town of Port Hedland local law on standing orders, nobody shall use any visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meeting unless the person has been given permission by the presiding member to do so. So on that note, I declare public question time, item 4.1, open now. At 5:37, could I have a show of hands of people that have questions for tonight's meeting? Just checking. Good, okay. If there are no show of hands and there are no questions for tonight's meeting, I declare public question time closed at 5:38. And now this allows me to open public statement time, item 4.2. I'd like to open public statement time at 5:38. Are there any public statements? Yep, sure. Please come up to the podium. Please state your name nice and clear.
Hi, my name is Scott Roberts. Mayor and councillors of the town of Port Hedland. I, Scott Roberts, am reading this statement tonight on behalf of myself and in excess of 300 local electors and many past residents of Port Hedland, to implore you all to revert your decision to permanently convert the Percy Gravick VC Memorial Hall into office space. As many of you are aware, our Town Hall and Civic Centre is a place of rich history, community gathering, a legacy for our children and part of our landscape. I am certain that I am not the only person in this room that has fond memories of events held in Gravick Hall. In the 35 years I have lived in Port Hedland, I have been to Anzac Day services, art shows, music festivals, weddings, school balls, music concerts, community fundraisers and dance concerts, to name a few. Most importantly, our town hall is a memorial to a brave and selfless soldier who served and died for our country. Each ball, social gathering, concert event or festival held in the hall allowed us to commemorate his life by enjoying the peace he has given our country. The Port Hedland Town Council have insulted his memory by pilfering his memorial and converting it to office space. The town without a hall is no town at all. Already Port Hedland has a dwindling community spirit due to the transient nature of the workforce, particularly FIFO workers who get rich from our resources but contribute very little to sporting or community events or groups. By taking away a community asset such as a Gravick Hall, you are making it that little bit harder for community groups to find an appropriate venue for the next function to socialise, discuss, raise money or celebrate the achievements and accomplishments, all of which are opportunities to foster relationships, build networks and nurture community spirit. Denying the community of its hall will be a further detriment to our community spirit. It was a morally and ethically incorrect decision on behalf of the councillors to trade the short-term office needs of the council with the drastic measure of permanently removing Gravick Hall from the community forever. The council severely underestimated the level of community attachment to the community hall when they voted to permanently acquire the hall for their own purposes, as witnessed by the numbers of electors who have signed a petition that I'll present later tonight. It is obvious the scenario of a tired and neglected hall was manufactured by the council in their attempt to acquire the hall, but the level of community sentiment in this petition is clearly shown. The Great Wick Hall has been removed from the community by the people who were elected to serve our community. This will be a permanent blight on the council members and will be an embarrassment they will have to live with. In conclusion, the petitioners and I humbly implore you to revert your decision to convert the Great Wick Memorial Hall into office space. Thank you.
So, Mr. Roberts, you've got the petition there?
Yes.
Thank you for collecting that. Can it please be noted that I've accepted? Did you want your clipboard back?
No, you can keep that. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
So please note that I've accepted the petition and will duly consider it. Are there any further public statements? Okay, I declare public statement time closed at 5:40. Thank you very much, members of the public. Item 5, questions from members without notice. Councillor De Cash.
Nothing, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Gillingham.
Yes, just one from a member of the public at the airport last Saturday morning, saying that they had difficulty with getting out of the car park recently because somebody in front of them hadn't validated their ticket, which meant that they went over and they had to pay extra dollars. Mm-hmm. I guess this happens from time to time, but does one have to actually validate the ticket to actually... before they actually get to the...
Yes.
Yeah, okay, because I didn't actually, you know, I seem to get dropped off all the time.
That's
so I don't
right.
use the... But can we just look into that, or, you know, especially of a busy time because people are getting a little bit angry?
Certainly.
All right, that's all, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hooper?
Nothing, thank you.
Councillor Hunt?
Nothing, Madam Mayor.
Welcome back. Councillor Taylor?
Yes, please, Madam Mayor. Last week I asked a number of questions, and I'm really pleased that you are attending today. I did ask a question on how the town is working with state agencies such as police, DCP and corrective services to target families of known recidivist offenders. I was wondering, I acknowledge your answer where you talked about weekly meetings by yourself with state agencies where issues and hot topics are raised, but I was wondering what's actually happening and what are the outcomes that are coming from those meetings?
Yeah, certainly. So, right, most recent, on Friday, I was fortunate enough to chair the latest multi-task force meeting for all the stakeholders involved in our established task force looking at issues associated with children at risk and youth on the streets, and it was really pleasing to see that there was over 40 people in attendance from all different agencies, and all agencies were actually, you know, quite willing and forthcoming, and their participation was really good at that meeting. So at that meeting we actually had tabled data from WA Police in terms of youth offending, youth interactions that they have, whether they're picking them up on vehicles, whether they've got criminal activity, that sort of thing. We also had the statistics presented from the Department of Corrective Services in terms of their youth justice services and their work orders that they have with the youth offenders. We also had presentation from Department of Education in regards to the truancy and attendance data, tracked attendance data, and looking at trends from grades 5 to year 7 in terms of looking at not only those age groups and cohorts, but also looking at boys and girls and seeing if there is any trends, underlying trends with that data. Also had presentation from the Youth Involvement Council with their Mingle Mob data and their Youth Accommodation Program data. We also had presentation of the VSU data that's come from the Population Health Department for Port Hedland. We also had the presentation of the Department of Child Protection and Family Services data, and we also had presentations from the YMCA in regards to their pool attendances, but also their youth and diversionary programs, basketball, laser tag activities that they've been doing geared towards youth activity and diversion as well. Really important, we're taking a scientific approach to the issue of youth and some of the issues that we've been experiencing in the past and working together, because with the data, and the saying goes, if you can't manage what you can't measure. So if you're not measuring it, if you're not collecting the data, it's impossible to be able to manage it. So with the tabling of all the data, able to see the trends that we are noticing a dropout, particularly of boys from grade 5 to year 7. We're noticing also the interactions, particularly of law time, and when particularly males go through law time and their drop out from the school program and not coming, returning back to school. Also noticing, it was interesting in terms of the police statistics, in terms of the number of offences that have been committed and the number of offenders that are committing those. Over the past 16 months, we've been very fortunate to have Senior Constable Tanya Binning, who's been working as part of the police contingent here. And it was interesting that over that 15-month period, the crime offender levels were actually quite the same. They were 66, 68, something like that. So it was really interesting to see that it's not a worsening. It's a trend that we've got there, and it's a trend that at least now with some science around it is something that we can address. So certainly YIC will be telling us about their VSU program, and certainly that's been one that the incidents, and you've previously asked about VSU and what's happening with VSU abuse in town and how we're tackling that issue. And I know there's now a new PACE program, which is it's a highly interactive parent family child support program that DEWA, Department of Education and Workplace Training, have now recently committed funding to. So there is a lot of flow on, and I think that with proceeds of crime, current Atlas funding, BHP Billiton funding, our own community support funding grants that are open at the moment, with the data and with the gaps, we can now actually target that, and we can target it with science and actually have some success in getting grant funding if we do need to apply for grant funding. But I'll be mindful and let you know that there is a lot of funding out there, and there's a lot of service providers, and there's a lot of groups out there. We need to make sure that they're working well. And I was fortunate today to attend the child safety meeting, which is convened by Department of Child Protection and Family Services. And it was really good to see at that grassroots level how particular individuals are put into the respective agencies and channeled off into the respective help that they and assistance that they require. So our next task force meeting, which has been set for the last Friday in March, that's where we'll now get all the agencies to actually present their programs and services for this year. It was a bit ambitious with the last task force meeting. Everyone was so excited to give us all the statistics and data that I never then got to the end part of doing the program. So now we've got all the data and we've got that mapped out. Now we're going to be mapping out all the services, and that's where we can see if it is that trend of grade 5 boys to year 7 boys and that gap. What are our programs? What are the mentoring? What are the support we've got in there to address that target group? So that's where we're at currently with that.
Another question I had, Madam Mayor, also stemming from last month's meeting, was we had sent a letter to DCP regarding services and staffing levels in Port Hedland, and I wondered how it went when you met with them and discussed with them the concerns that were in that letter.
Yes, so we were, the CEO and myself were fortunate on a recent trip which we had for the Pilbara Regional Council in Perth to have a meeting with Director General of Child Protection Family Services, Terry Murphy. And it was actually a very positive meeting, and I was heartened from the meeting. Certainly there has been some changes in teams in terms of leaders and team personnel here locally. There was an acknowledgement that there was some gaps, but certainly that they'd moved resources and they were filling those gaps. And also, I can't go into the detail, but there will be some joint efforts between the police and Department of Child Protection and Family Services on a joint level in terms of looking at children and youth on the streets and giving case managers and people associated with DCPFS more of an understanding of what the police are dealing with on the street. But I can't go into further detail, but offline, privately, I was heartened that that is happening.
Okay. Thank you.
No further comments.
Councillor
Buck. Through the Chair, I've just got a question from the committee member who couldn't be here tonight, Mr. Smirk from Smirk's store.
Yes.
He was just wondering why, for the past phenomenal amount of years, that they're allowed to have a licence for alcohol at the water polo, but now not allowed to.
Okay, CEO.
Through you, Madam Mayor, I might just defer to the Director of Community Development, if I may.
Good Chair, I guess the practice for quite some time has been that water polo have had a drink around the pool area as it at the conclusion of their games. With that, that's not exactly best practice, both in terms of safety around pools or the responsible consumption of alcohol. We've been trying to work with the YMCA and the water polo to, I guess, modify that practice, understanding that people at the end of their water polo game still would like to have a drink. Our preferred approach would be to set up a licensed area away from the pool area, whereby people is contained and it doesn't necessarily impact upon, clearly doesn't impact upon the other users of the aquatic centre, but establish an area that ultimately will lend itself to the development of a club room down the track that they can consume alcohol in rather than a pool zone.
Does that answer that, Councillor Butson?
Yes, thank you.
Any further questions?
No, thank you.
Great. Councillor Melville?
Nothing, thank you, Madam Mayor.
All right, thank you. Thank you, councillors. Okay, item 6, declaration by members to have given due consideration to all matters contained in the business paper presented before us. If I could please have a show of hands. Eight, sorry, I was just getting my maths ready. 8-0, thank you. Item 7, confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting. 7.1, confirmation of the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on Wednesday the 29th of January 2014. Do I have any points of clarification? Do I have a mover?
No points on it, Madam Mayor.
Move Councillor Dukash, seconded Councillor Hunt. Do I have any against? Motion carried 8-0. Item 8, announcements by presiding member without discussion. Again, it's been a very busy period since the last meeting. I think one of the highlights, and certainly full commendation to the Director of Engineering Services personnel, was I had the pleasure of taking some of the young students from Len Taplin Childcare out to South Hedland Landfill to see what happens with our waste and what happens with the works at the landfill, and opportunities for the 3 R's. So it was pleasing, and certainly the operators at the landfill were very accommodating. So if you can thank them for me, that would be terrific. And certainly the recent cruise ship visit on Monday was a highlight, and certainly having the celebrity solstice docked in at berths 1 and 2 in town, and having approximately 1,000 people pop off and come and enjoy our very hot, warm hospitality in Port Hedland. It was a warm day, and I know the market stall traders, it was a hot day for them, but certainly the people that did get off did enjoy the experience and got to check out all that was Port Hedland. So it was a good day, and we've got cruise ships coming in on the 6th of March and the 30th of March. So hoping that councillors can come and help us, town ambassadors and any members of the public. If you're available even for an hour, please pop down and come and help us out. So the Department of Planning and Development, you lent some staff as volunteers. Please thank them for helping us. That helped make the day a bit smoother. And certainly Manager of Economic and Land Development, David Westbury, I know personally did a very early start and a very late finish, and did a lot to pull off and help make sure the day was a success. So please acknowledge and thank him. So that's my report. Item 9, reports by elected members without discussion. Councillor Dukash?
Nothing, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Gillingham?
Only that I attended the Atlas Irons opening of their offices in Prettypool.
Right.
It's very refreshing to have that young company up and coming in our town. Thank you.
Councillor Hooper?
Yes, the Atlas opening was great. Thank you. Thank you to you for opening my exhibition recently. That's it for the moment.
Great. Thank you.
Nothing, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Taylor?
Yes, please, Madam Mayor. I'm trying to remember the name of the surfing people who came up.
Surfing WA.
They were really, everyone who was at the pool, even if they hadn't planned it, really took advantage of that being put on by the town. And they were kind enough that because it kind of the structure that they'd set up, they just opened it up to anyone who was there who had proper, who had done all the proper paperwork and everything to have goes. And there was heaps of people that never, ever would have experienced surfing in Port Hedland who got to actually have some instruction and be taught how to do it. So it was a really fun day.
Good. Thank you. Councillor Butson?
No, thank you, Madam.
Councillor Melville?
No reports. Thank you, Madam.
Great. Thank you, councillors, for all your endeavours. Item 10, petitions, deputations, presentations, submissions. We do have a presentation. I believe we have two tonight, but we'll start with 10.1, Manager of the Youth Involvement Council, Vicky Tree Stevens. Welcome.
Okay, I've got a bit of a PowerPoint here.
If it's easier for you to move around. No. Whatever's easier for you, because it might be hard trying to point it out from there.
Yeah, no, that's all right. It's pretty self-explanatory. So just for those of you who don't know, the Youth Involvement Council is a non-government organisation that's been operating in Hebron for almost 25 years. And we run a host of programs, which I'm going to brief you on tonight, and annual events for young people in the town each year. And I'll start with the Youth Accommodation Program. So we call this program YAP, and it's funded by Child Protection and Family Services. This is a service for homeless young people aged 15 to 25 years. On the odd occasions, we do get 10 to 14-year-olds in the house as well. So we've got a six-bed facility at the moment. That's three bedrooms, so they have to share at the moment. And they often present with quite complex issues and normally substance abuse and mental illness and a traumatic past as well. So sometimes putting two clients in a room can be like waiting for a bomb to go off. But we're pretty excited about getting a new facility soon, which will be eight single bedrooms. It'll be a lot easier to manage and cater to the clients as best that we can. So I've just got statistics from July 2013 for this particular presentation. So over the last 7 months, we've had an average of six clients each month. 55% of them are Aboriginal and 60% of them are male. Most referrals come in from Child Protection Family Services, and others are self-referrals, so young people can present themselves. There's also others from police, education, health, family members, justice and other YIC programs who have identified that young people need a safe place to stay. So they may have been identified in some of our other programs and then referred over to YIC. And so a requirement of getting into YAP is that they have to enter into an individual case management plan, and if they aren't meeting us at least halfway with that plan and setting and achieving their goals, then they'll be quickly brought into line, and there are rules and regulations in the house and three warnings and they're out. Normally they come right after the first one. So basically have to work through that case management process as a requirement of staying in the facility. So they can stay for up to 3 months. At that point, they'll be reassessed. Sometimes we'll try and rehome them and either out of town or with family members or independent housing, which is pretty difficult. And I think that's all, yep. So the Lawson Street Youth Centre will be getting a new name as of the 1st of July, so if anybody has any bright ideas, feel free to let me know. But it's also got to have a cool acronym. So this is jointly funded by Child Protection and Family Services and Department of Corrective Services. It's for 10 to 17-year-olds. It's a drop-in style centre for up to 30 young people each afternoon. Sometimes we get 5 and sometimes we get 35. We never quite know because of the drop-in style. And we offer a range of recreational, educational and sporting activities there. And a lot of our consistent efforts also has a focus on just social skills and stuff. So between July and December 2013, so the last 6 months of 2013, we had 2,037 contacts involving 476 individual clients. It's open 6 days a week. So 60% of them were under 12 and 30% 12 to 14, so very young. Most of our clients are under 14. We do find it difficult to engage 15 and overs in that program. 10 to 17 is quite a large age range, and 17-year-olds generally don't want to be hanging around with 11-year-olds. So we think that might have something to do with it, and we're working towards a new facility which we hope will help address that stuff. So 64% of them are male, 97% of them are Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, and 90% of them have been defined as experiencing some sort of risk in their lives. So 94 out of those 476 individuals had involvement with police officers or security officers. The Mingle Mob is an outreach program. So the Mingle Mob did stop for 7 months in 2012. and it was able to start up again through some generous funding from IBN. And it's now jointly funded by IBN, Rio Tinto, Headland Home Hardware, Town of Port Hedland, and Atlas. So basically we're always on the lookout for money for MingleMob, because we can only operate to the capacity that reflects our funding. So we're still not running a fully fledged MingleMob program, which is a little disappointing, but as we increase our funding, we will open that up, which means operating more nights of the week, longer hours into the night. So currently we're only doing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 6 p.m. till 10 p.m. The youth workers who are on MingleMob have to be quite strong and resilient, and we're fortunate enough to have mostly Aboriginal born and bred youth workers on that service who know the families, which is a huge help when you're trying to manage things out there. And they basically get out on the bus and they patrol through the streets and around the CBD and different hotspots, because there's various ditches and ovals that are popular at different times. And basically approach the young people or groups of young people and initiate a meaningful engagement. So my team on MingleMob know that we only have a very small window of opportunity and we have to make the most of that. So with that engagement, we try and inform them about our other services. One of the probably big gaping holes in MingleMob is the ability to follow up on those concerns and intelligence that we gather during patrols 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, what we call case management, which is basically working individually with people to try and help them create an improved pathway into the future. So all the same, we do get a lot of intelligence out there. We know who's out there and if they're intoxicated and if they have a safe place to go to, or if they don't want to go home. We find out a whole bunch of things. So this was a 7-month period, 2,060 contacts with 431 individuals. They can be anything, well, the age is there, so 99% Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, 51% are male, 35% of them are under 10, and 56 are age level to 15. So once again, almost 90% of children are under 15. It's not uncommon to find children under 10 out there. And being mentored into unsavoury activities by the 12-year-olds. 54% of the issues that we encounter out on MingleMob are antisocial behaviour, followed by drugs, damage, vandalism, conflicts, alcohol. Sniffing is also an issue, although in the last 8 to 10 months we've found that a lot of the children who do sniff are doing it a bit more discreetly. So we believe it is still out there, but just not quite in our face like it was there for a while. And our organisation does have a VSU action plan, so that if we do come across a child who's been using volatile substances, then we are all taking the exact same approach to ensure that, you know, if the child does die, which they can from sudden sniffing death, then we're fully accountable. So 34% of the engagements occur at the skate park in this 7-month period, 17% at the JD Youth Zone, and that includes some of the slam stuff and transporting children away from the youth zone after their activities. Sometimes our workers will also go along there and support what's happening at the JD. We have a good relationship with the youth workers over there. 12% at the South Hedland Shopping Centre, 10% on the streets, and 1% around the CBD, 9% at the Lawson Street Youth Centre, and 9% at Wanganui Stadium. So after the vandalism, or if we're alerted to things, if we're alerted about different programs that are running or vandalism that's happening in certain areas, we will try and patrol around those areas and keep an eye on them until 10 o'clock, until we get more money so we can go to two. So we have contacts, obviously, with other agencies also on MingleMob patrol. So there was 18 contacts with the police, 7 involving family, and 2 clients identified and referred to yet. The Birds and Bees program is part of our BHP partnership, and it has an underlying theme of sexual health. It includes a lot of excursion-based activities, confidence-building type stuff, and that's just purely we've got to chuck that stuff in, because if we just go, hey, come into the sexual health program, they generally don't come. So we can take up to 10 people at a time on that on that program and do it separately, so 10 boys and 10 girls. There's also the ability within that program to evolve to respond to what the young people themselves request that they would like to do, and also the availability of local programs and potential collaborations with other organisations, and also those programs that have proven effectiveness as well. If we can see that a particular program has an impact, we will try and pursue it. And thank goodness we'll be getting a new vehicle soon for Lorries West, because it's difficult juggling vehicles around all these programs sometimes. The youth education programs, again, part of our BHP partnership, and so it's mainly a partnership with South Eden Primary School. And what we've noticed, which reflects what Kelly was saying earlier, is that there's many, many children who aren't making a successful transition into secondary school, and they're dropping out there, and if they don't attend the first term or two, then it's very, very, very difficult to get into, to get them back in there. So we also provide the educational component to the bail house, the local bail house, that can take up to 3 clients referred by the magistrate, I'm pretty excited that we're going to be implementing QuickSmart this year, which will improve our effectiveness with the young people and how many young people we can reach as well, and improve reporting and all that sort of stuff. And that program is coordinated by a qualified teacher. So we did get some funding through FACSEA, which is our Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet, in August last year. So from September to December last year, there were 4 activities that occurred, and then there's more planned between now and 30th of June. So basically, with this funding agreement, we're targeting obviously 2 groups of people according to the funding agreement. The first one are the real chronic users. They're extremely difficult to engage. They've disengaged from almost every other part of their life, most of the time even their families, but part of our job in there is to actually really target them and focus on getting them and trying to re-engage them, no matter how little or a lot that might be. And so part of that work is the youth workers have to record every single attempt, so that even if after 6 months we can say, well, we never ended up getting Johnny to anything, we can say, no, but we actually tried 62 times. So it is very time consuming, but we've just got to keep on trying. And then the second group are the experimental users. So they're using, it's not deemed to be chronic. And then there's a side group to that, which are the children who are hanging around with children who sniff, even though they're not aware that they have yet. So between now and 30 June, there's going to be 4 bush camps, 5 day trips, a horsemanship program, and a concerted effort by some of our youth workers to get the clients that are targeted through that program. So we've got a list of 20 names that we're focusing on. There's a further 10 for backup, and we're trying to really make sure that they're going to school, that they're involved in sports, in particular basketball and swimming, that there's a music program, we've got a local rapper that we work with, and other existing programs. It has been reported, so every time there's an incident with VSU, we do send in a report, and they're collated by government agencies. So it has reported reduced incidents between October and January, but I'm not entirely sure that is actually accurate because of a number of reasons. Firstly, underreporting. So some people might walk past a park and see a child sniffing but not know what to do about it, so it just never gets reported. Around that period as well, young people are out of town, sometimes for cultural stuff, sometimes in lock-up, and a lot of agency workers who would normally report also take leave, as well as, like I mentioned earlier, the children are becoming a bit more discreet in their behaviour, and they're finding their houses where they're allowed to do it and meeting them. We also have a number of annual events, so National Youth Week, we run a Headlands Got Talent competition, so the final will be at the Town Square on the 11th of April this year, if any of you are free. And that's also combined with the Headland Youth Awards. We also celebrate National Families Week, Night of Homelessness, and Christmas, and have other camps and stuff as well. Then there's other events, the Port Bowen Youth Festival that we're involved in, Welcome to Headland Night, Corporate's Quiz Night, Child Protection Week, Sexual Health Week, Anti-Bullying Day, Are You OK Day, and there's a lot of days and weeks too, it just depends on our schedule. And we've got some pretty exciting plans for the next 3 years, so on the brink of finalising our new strategic plan and updating our operational plan. We're developing our original premises at Lawson Street, including staff housing options. We're getting a new YAT facility, as I mentioned earlier, and always adding vehicles to help us improve our services and reduce juggling on vehicles. And also looking for new contracts that will allow the expansion of our programs when we get our new facility, and in particular the social enterprise funding, middle years funding, so that we can work with more children aged 5 to 9, and renewing our existing service agreements as well as continuing to build on our strategic partnerships.
Awesome, thank you. Councillors, are there any questions for Vicky?
Yes, Councillor Taylor. I was just wondering, you talk about the youth centre on Lawson Street being open 6 days a week. I just wondered what the hours were for the youth centre.
Oh, yeah. So 2:30 to 6:30 during the school term. And then the school holidays are open at 11:30 till 6:30.
And that's on Saturday.
Yeah, during the school holidays. Oh yeah, in Saturdays it's 11:30 to 6:30. We don't like to stay. There has been a lot of suggestions that we should stay open later in the night, but the thing is that it's a bit of a catch-catch because we also should be encouraging children to be going home so that they can sleep so they can go to school. Mm-hmm. And it is really a school night, even though some of the kids we don't work with don't attend school, but it is essentially a school night. So I don't want to be encouraging them to stay out later. Mingle Mob's different. If they're out in the streets, then they're out in the streets, but to have them attracted to the youth centre late into the night is probably ideal.
Any other questions? I've got some
more, but I'm happy to let some
of far away, Councillor Taylor.
I was just wondering, talking about Mingle Mob, you talked about how you'd really like to have the case management and how you really see that sort of as it's almost like a way of meeting clients and picking them up off the street, and they're obviously already in a position of potentially neglect and they're certainly at risk if they're on the street and they're 5-10. What type of funding is there given that the Department of Child Protection and Family Services, that's their primary role, is the protection of children? And I'm just wondering, given that when you listed the funding for Mingle Mob, none of that was government, so I'm just wondering how that fits into the program, and would there be any avenues for that case management side of it to come from and do something?
Good question. I'm certainly looking into it, and I certainly make my position clear every time I get the opportunity. We are renewing our agreements with state government this year, so that will be new from 1st of July, and there is a little bit more money in here to cover case management. I guess with case management, it is one thing that, but with all of our programs, there's great fun stuff that happens, but it's a more holistic approach, and case management just goes hand in hand, whether it's formal or informal. And I could have 20 caseworkers tomorrow, and they would all be busy. And I guess that's a scary picture. And three who get roped into dealing with Mingle Mob stuff, because of course when we find this stuff out, we can't just ignore it.
Yeah.
But it's straining our resources. Mm-hmm. We don't have anything.
We know
this. Yeah, yeah. So, but I'm trying to progress some conversations with Department of Aboriginal Affairs as well. So what I proposed to them, I met a lady in April last year down there, was if one particular agency didn't want to, then maybe a collective of them. We deal with a lot of stuff out there, so maybe collective services, child protection, sport and rec, and Aboriginal Affairs, Office of Crime Prevention. So I do try, and I do, Kelly, you're first saying that there's a lot of funding out there, which is true. I would love to have full time funding, obviously. But I have to do it with all my special.
Keep going.
Vicky, thank you for coming. It's a wonderful presentation you've given. I just want to know, you're saying a lot of the instances happen at the skate park. I'm assuming that's South Hedland?
Yes.
Skate park, yeah. And would that be like a confrontation between, like one child to another child? Is that something
Sometimes it's child and child. Sometimes it's a mob of children against one child. Sometimes it's a drunken adult against children. It can be any number of things, yeah.
Mm. And is there any suggestions how we should sort of help to, you know, smooth these sort of things over, so, you know, be around with kids? I mean, as a parent, I would be there if my child was there, but that's not always the case, is it?
Yeah, look, unfortunately, there are some situations where you've got parents standing by watching, encouraging the behaviour. So it's something that we try and chip away at, and something that can be very difficult to manage. And I have to always make sure that my staff, like, they've got to be fully aware and alert out there. And I always tell them, you know, keep themselves safe, because if they don't keep themselves safe, then they're not going to be able to help anyone else. And that's a really tough thing to stand back and watch two kids fighting, particularly when you know them. But you also have to be very careful how you go about it, because if, for example, I saw these two children fighting, or children, I mean, like 12-year-olds, and I went and approached them, and auntie and mum's actually over there encouraging it, I'll be the next target. So you've just got to be very careful and aware of who's around and how, what is the best way to manage it at any one given time.
Mm. Okay, thanks.
Just back when you're looking at perhaps agencies funding it, or, you know, like getting more case managers, how could the Crown Court Hetland possibly help you get funding to have more case managers, so that as children at risk are identified, they're actually looked after?
Well, I do keep my eyes open for all sorts of funding, and I'm lucky enough to have one of my brilliant workers that goes for a lot of the smaller ones. And some of the larger ones, like, I have gone for that I think could fit case management. And every time I do go for a funding agreement, I do request support letters, and the Town of Port Hedland's always been very forthcoming in providing those. Apart from that, just lobbying for us, and I do feel support. It's just that nobody has any room in fucking.
You talked about with the VSU, the volatile substance use money and the programs with that. You said that there was a few upcoming events with the bush camps and the day trips. I was just wondering what the activities were that you've already had.
Oh yeah, sure. So it started off with an education session, so that involved the young people that we were targeting, and some of and their family members also encouraged to come along. I have got the summary report in front of me, but I believe there was about 18 participants in that. And then there was meant to be camps, but then there was sorry business and a number of other things that stopped that from happening. So there was a series of day trips. So there was the education session and then 3-day trips. And they all attracted around, so it included things like fishing, kayaking, eating together.
Any further questions?
No.
Thank you very much, Vicky, for your presentation. Thank you. And now, this evening, we have another presentation from Water Corp and Pilbara Clearwater. I believe we've got David from Water Corp and Nathaniel Hillcox from Pilbara Clearwater. Welcome.
Hi, everyone. How you doing?
And again, if it's
follow Vicky, I'll tell you, very impressive.
And again, if it's uncomfortable being at the podium, feel free to wander around.
So, Madam Mayor, councillors, Town of Port Hedland staff, thank you, and community, thank you for the opportunity to present. And David gives his apologies, so okay. He'll be stuck with me tonight.
Sure.
Just for ease, Nathaniel's a really long name, so call me Nat.
Yep.
Essentially, tonight, I work for Tenix, but I'm here representing the Pilbara Clearwater Alliance, and thus representing Water Corporation as well.
Mm-hmm.
We come here tonight with a request for road closure at Cook Point Drive. So I have a short presentation, I guess, to provide an overview of the works that has been undertaken, and I guess a proposal for that road closure. So I'd just like to put that for everybody now. So with Tenix, I mean, we're very honoured to be partnering with the Water Corporation as part of the Pilbara Clearwater Alliance to deliver these works for Hedland. So it's approximately $118 million worth of works, which involves the upgrade of the South Hedland Wastewater Treatment Plant, which is down Shoda Road. That's a recent photo. of the facility. It's been upgraded to treat approximately 10 million litres of wastewater per day. So significant upgrade to cater for the future population growth within the town. Importantly, I think that the facility has a recycled water facility available, so majority of the water that's treated, rather than go to an ocean outfall or somewhere else, that water will be treated to Class A, which will be able for use for local irrigation and for and industry. And that has a flow-on effect, because obviously hopefully that will mean that their reliance on potable water will be reduced and thus make more potable water available for the community. So it's a good flow-on effect. The works there are scheduled to be complete for mid-2014, so commissioned and operational for 2014. And associated with that treatment plant, there's a range of pump station works, so piping, conveyance, and works to get the wastewater to the new upgrade facility. There's also lots of new pipelines that are being installed, and essentially that's part of what we're here to talk about today. So there's a facility in Port Hedland at the corner along Cook Point Road and the corner of Tyndale Street, which will be decommissioned as part of these works, what you know as the Port Hedland Wastewater Treatment Plant. So we've got pipelines that are running about 15.5 kilometres. We have a pump station that we're constructing across the road, and those pipelines convey wastewater to the new facility, upgraded facility along Shader Road. So installation began in May. It'll be commissioned May 2014. And I'm sure everyone's seen works ongoing. Most of our work's highly visible to the public, to the community. As such, it's along road verges and things of that nature generally. So it's a highly visible project, essentially running through the artery that links south and Port Hedland. So that's just a picture of our works. Importantly, these upgrade works, I guess, result in the decommissioning of the Port Hedland Wastewater Treatment Plant. You could almost kick a footy there from here, actually, it's so close. So come mid-year when the new facility's commissioned, this facility will be shut down, decommissioned, which will enable the development works to proceed adjacent. And then come 2016, the site will be fully cleaned up, decontaminated, and allow for development works through there as well. The project's funded through state government's royalties program, Water Corporation Capital Works programs, and it's part of the Pilbara Cities initiative and Pilbara the Development Corporation. So just a bit of background on the project. The footprint, I could have just used this map, but essentially the two red boxes that you see, we have this, our Port Hedland facility, which will be decommissioned, and we have the upgraded South Hedland facility, and our pipeline runs along Cook Point Drive, essentially down Wilson Street, a little bit of a dog leg across the Great Northern Highway, down the Great Northern Highway, and then we continue across along this area here, which is there's a Water Corporation storage facility underneath Hamilton and down Shoda Road and along into the new facility. So essentially we come here today at request to complete essential works. Part of that essential works is we need to connect into the existing infrastructure in the Port Hedland Wastewater Treatment Plant, and there's a pump station 3 over here along McGregor Street as well. So we need to cut into those lines so that we can eventually take that raw wastewater and pump it down the track to the new wastewater treatment plant. So we come here today to request a 7-day road closure of Cook Point Drive between McGregor Street and Stiles Road. So approximately from McGregor through to Stiles. I guess in establishing and trying to understand what might be the pressure points and the pinch points for the community in general, we've observed a high level of footpath traffic along Cook Point Drive. I'll use it myself on my RDOs where I go for a run along there. So lots of people running, lots of people walking, people walking to school. So I guess from our case, we think it's very important that we keep that facility open so that the public can continue to utilise that facility whilst these essential works are ongoing. The other thing that we think is important, I guess, essentially with down Stiles, if you come off Stiles Road from Pretty Pool, you come along Cook Point Drive, because it'll be closed along here, there'll be a lot more traffic that would need to turn into Wilson Street. So we've just had discussions with Main Roads. Sorry?
And have to turn right as well?
Yes, turn right into Wilson Street. And as such, I guess, what we've tried to do is to accommodate that additional traffic is to get a speed reduction along Wilson Street either side so that it makes it easy to accommodate that additional traffic to merge in as safe as possible. So we've got, in speaking to Main Roads, we have approval that should be, that approval be granted for the works that we could get that speed limit reduced to 60 kilometres, 500 metres either side of the intersection to allow for that to occur. I think importantly, and in discussions with Town of Port Hedland staff, I stand before you, I understand it's, you know, long history of people coming up here and essentially there's often an attitude that, well, once we've got the road closed, what's going to happen then, kind of thing. So, I mean, we need 7 days. We intend to work 24 hours around the clock to complete these essential works. And I guess we're proposing a penalty that should these works run over those 7 days, should we be fortunate enough to be granted the 7 days, that we feel that a compensation, essentially an order which provides it provides incentive for us to get the works done on time, but also, I guess, hopefully some peace of mind and reassurance for the town that we'd be looking to do everything that's within our power to get those works complete within that time frame should be granted. So I didn't want to get too technical, and I'm happy to get technical, but essentially that's our request today, that's our proposal. I really thank you for your time. Actually, it's been a great learning experience just to sit here and observe what's going on, so thank you for that. I just open the floor up if there's any questions.
So Nat, if it's okay, if we can put it back to the slide prior.
This one, yeah?
That one, so leave it there.
Yeah.
Councillors, are there any questions?
No, just the time frame, when?
So what dates?
It's dependent on approvals being granted today. We need to provide the public with a 7 days notice. We need to get our boards up to notify the public. So it depends, I guess, when you'd be okay with granting that approval for. We'd like to get the work started approximately Monday the 10th of March,
mm-hmm.
To put a date out there. But I guess it's highly dependent on the outcome of today, tonight.
Councillor Taylor?
I was just going to ask about the date, because the main concern that I see is that there's a lot of traffic between Pretty Pool and Port Hedland Primary School.
Yes.
At peak
yes.
School dropping off and picking up times.
Yep.
And that traffic will be turning right, looping all the way around, and then hurrying down McGregor Street because they haven't allowed enough time to get the school on time.
Just for information, I guess I anticipated the query tonight, so we went out at 3:30 today, 4:00. I can't remember the exact time, so it's 2:15. And
it'd be better at 2:20 when school finishes.
Okay, all right.
So that might be the best time.
But just, it was a 5 minutes and 30 second detour, just so, I guess, to make you fully aware of what the impact of the works would be.
I'm sure it's not far, but my point is that that's where we're going to have a large use of and to have people turning right, and unfortunately, parents rushing to pick up or drop off children is an issue even when there's not a traffic change. So I'm just thinking along McGregor Street is, so I'm just interested to see how that is, because I was going to ask for the timing. Of course, doing it in school holidays takes off that pressure.
Yes.
So I'm just, that would be one of my concerns, that would be managed well.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, so I was going to say with the Easter holidays coming up, the middle of April, I think it's the 12th of April to about the 28th of April. It's the time when you have school holidays.
Okay, thank you.
Do you have a cut-off time?
Sorry?
Do you have a cut-off time for when the works need to be done with?
Oh, well, we'd like to have essentially the South Hedland Wastewater Treatment Plant's looking to commence operations mid-year, so we need to be able to have the pump station commissioned and operational prior to that. So.
It's not like something you can schedule, or you can do other work, wait for that window, do that work in other
ways. I guess it's probably fair to say that the work on the pump station is 85% complete, and this is the it's one of the few, I guess, significant activities that's remaining on the works.
Okay.
I see the area at Cook Point Drive on Apple Street near the roundabout there. It's quite a raised area that you've got there.
Yep.
I haven't seen any plan of what the final effect will be. Is that something that you'd be able to get to us at some stage?
The final plan.
What will be actually completed there?
Yeah, of course. For information, the pump station is designed 7.5 metres above sea level to encounter the 100-year floods for the region so that the infrastructure doesn't get damaged.
I think Councillor Gillingham was referring to the aesthetics of the end product.
Oh, okay. I'd be happy to come to the next forum and present again if you'd like.
Oh, even if you just email something to us, that's okay. But yeah, we'd love to have your presentation. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Thank you.
Is there any chance, apart from the road sign saying reduced to 60 kilometres, we can have just flashing, what's it called, SAM or whatever it is?
Both
sides?
Yeah.
Because sometimes they blow over or people just don't see it or something happens. But if you had a flashing signal saying 60 kilometres from now.
The big signs that come on the back of the trailers, the electronic signs?
Yeah,
that would be our intention.
We're going to have those for 7 days, it'd be great.
Yes.
You're going to want to stop people turning down.
Yes.
Detour.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any chance of extending for about 300 days for $5,000 a day? We need every cent we can get.
You're always seeking, George.
Oh, I'll think for the dollar.
Any other questions, councillors?
Thank you. I was just wondering, if it's a problem with school times,
yes.
Having road management people just for that period of that time for an hour or something, just to make it a bit safer for them in return and coming out.
Hour in the morning, an hour.
Just around, to let the school incoming going to
I guess I can't say yes or no to that, because that road and how that road's treated is by a main road, so that's a discussion that I'd have to have with them.
Through Madam Mayor, I understand there need to be a traffic management plan, and the main roads would need to sign off on the traffic management plan, so that would be in association with, in conjunction with main roads.
And of course, we present the traffic management plan to the town board and then for approval also.
Any other questions, councillors? Now, if there's an opportunity, just on the map here, with the public bus route, and particularly for the community on Charles Ball Drive, there's a public bus stop on this side, but it's on this side.
Can you move that down
to here, or provide temporary shade and seating?
We'd be looking to provide temporary shelter for the 7 days.
Great.
So that we can accommodate that.
Because they've currently got a seat, they've currently got a bench seat, and they've got
something equivalent.
Yeah. A lot of people have medical attention and have mobility issues in Charles Ball Drive.
Yep.
So they need that seating. They need what's provided there currently.
No problem.
So with that addition now being 5 points, are councillors comfortable with what's being proposed? Councillor De Cash?
Yes.
Yes.
Councillor Gillingham? Councillor Hooper?
Yes.
Councillor Hunt? Councillor Taylor?
It would be good to see the traffic management plan I'm comfortable with this.
Are you comfortable with being emailed the traffic management plan?
Yep,
great. So if that can happen. Councillor Butson, you're comfortable?
Yep.
Councillor Melville, you're comfortable? So it doesn't require a formal resolution from us, but given the level of comfort, given the presentation, and Nate, we know where you're staying and living, we will make sure that you work very closely with our director and make sure that those five, so the addition of the temporary shelter and seating for the bus stop there, that would be terrific.
Madam Mayor, can I just add that just goes without saying, the correct level of reinstatement, and we have had some issues which we just want to make sure that whatever's reinstated is reinstated to good quality police. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further questions, queries? Director, you're happy?
I'll deal with them on those other issues.
Great. Terrific. Thanks for your presentation. So I believe there's no further presentations tonight. Thank you for your presentations. Okay, reports of officers, item 11. Item 11.1.1.1, amendment to the purpose of reserve 29954, lot 1676 and 1677 on deposit of plan 211238, Caterina Road, Wedgefield, with the officer's recommendation on page 14. Do I have any points of clarification?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Thank you. It says in officer's recommendation, page 14, that the license agreement for SAS NORSAT requires ministerial approval prior to implementation. Should we not get that approval first before we go on? Because you might turn around and say no. What's the...
So through you, Madam Mayor, we actually can't approach the Minister for that approval without the Council resolution to support the lease. So it is a horse and cart issue. We need to put the horse first, which is the resolution of Council, and then seek the approval of the Minister to sign off on the lease.
No, the other point I got, Madam Mayor, is we've all received this letter from...
Just a note, I've made this, printed this out, and all councillors are aware of the correspondence from Mr Dave McGowan, so please, councillors, duly consider that.
I was just asking, has council considered what he's mentioned in one of the stating that the service would not appear available since the four technical staff proposed to support his additional services and capabilities have moved to another local company? And he also mentioned something about the VHF and UHF systems. Mm. I mean, have these been looked at before we...
Sure.
I'll have to defer that to the Director of Engineering Services.
Through the Chair, they have.
They have been looked at? Okay.
Any further points of clarification? Do I have a mover for the recommendation? Mover and Councillor Hooper. Seconder? Councillor Hunt? Do I have any against? Yep, Speaker 4.
I believe that this is an opportune time to gain ourselves some added communications by sharing the infrastructure that's there. And I don't believe that 21 years is too long.
Speaker against?
Yeah, I would just like to say, having this letter from Mr McGowan and having known that Mr McGowan's been involved with communications for a long time in our town, I just feel as if he wouldn't have written this letter unless there was some concern. And also he's saying in the letter that the council could be cutting themselves short for the amount of money that has been discussed per annum. So I would have liked to have looked into this more before we'd made a final decision tonight to see why, and asked if Mr McGowan had been here to have been able to ask him why. A little bit more information. Thank you.
Okay. Speaker 4.
I believe that it's forward looking to approve a lease for 21 years. We're looking to build a city. We need to put things in place for a longer period of time rather than just a short time and then having to go back to the drawing board again and again and again. So 21 years is a very good amount of time to start to do that. That's probably it.
Speaker against?
Can I ask a point of
no, we're in debate. So Speaker 4, Speaker against?
Yes. I tend to agree. I think the $500 annual licence is way too low for this sort of situation to occur. And the 21-year period is also quite excessive as far as I'm concerned. So I've got a problem with those two issues.
Okay, Speaker 4. Speaker against? I'll offer right of reply.
No, thank you.
Okay, if everyone's comfortable, I'll take the point of clarification now that we have finished the debate, and then just a point of clarification or information from the CEO. So point of clarification
thank
first.
You. I just wanted to confirm that what we're considering in the request looks at amendment of the purpose of the reserve and the possibility to have a lease period for 21 years, as opposed to which backs up the council resolution on the 24th of April last year, which was actually regarding the lease and that the lease was for 3 years. So we're actually looking at an amendment to the purpose of the reserve to include telecommunications and the possibility to have a lease with 21 years, but at the moment that would be an option. We already sort of have a lease agreement that's for 3 years, so the 21 years question doesn't affect the lease that's already been asked by council resolution. Is that correct?
CEO, do you want to add anything?
Yes, through you, Madam Mayor. the particular, this officer's recommendation is simply that, is actually seeking the amendment to the purpose of the reserve with the power to lease. This is actually not a lease agreement,
yeah.
And this is not a lease agreement with NORSAT or any other body. This is simply going to the minister seeking to have the purpose of the reserve changed initially and to include in that the ability to lease, and then if there is going to be any change to the lease conditions with the current company or any other company, we'll be able to bring those opportunities back to council for their consideration.
Any further points of clarification? Okay, now that we've had a debate, I'll now put it to a vote. Those in favour of the recommendation, can I have a show of hands? Those against the recommendation, a show of hands. Let the vote record 7-1. The motion is carried.
Thank you, Madam.
Item 11.1.1.2, proposed road names for the Darry Strategic Industrial Area. With the officer's recommendation on page 21. I believe councillors have received a sheet that looks like this, that has names that are struck and names that are in red. Do I have any points of clarification? Councillor Gillingham, do you want a copy here, just
yes,
to make it a bit easier?
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I didn't get that one.
You want a copy? Are you happy? Still moved, Councillor Hunt. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Hooper, do I have any against? The motion is carried 8-0. Thank you, councillors. Item 11.1.1.3, proposed use not listed, temporary fly camp on lot 313 in brackets 47, Phosphorus Street, Wedgefield, with the officer's recommendation on page 27. Do I have any points of clarification?
Yes, please, Madam Mayor. I was wondering if the proponent had been invited to attend after the last request from the agenda briefing.
Madam Mayor, I have to defer to the Director of Planning and Development.
Through the Chair, I've received advice from the planning officers that they were willing to meet and they have been advised.
Do I have any further points of clarification? Do I have a mover? Move, Councillor Hooper. Seconded, Councillor Hunt. Do I have any against? Motion carried 8-0. We're now on page 36, item 11.1.1.4, proposed private road names for Osprey Key Workers Village, lot 556, Osprey Drive, South Edland, with the officer's recommendation on page 41. Do I have any points of clarification?
Yes, I do. I'm looking through the lists of suggested names, and all of them except for one are Australian birds, and
mm-hmm.
I was wondering why the ostrich was put in there.
Good birds, is it?
As opposed to an emu.
Cassowary.
Yeah.
So, would you like to put an amendment or do anything?
I certainly would.
Yep.
Like to,
what would you like to
suggest that the name ostrich either be omitted or amended to emu.
Emu. Okay, I think if it can be struck from the list and replaced with emu, I think.
There's already an emu.
It'll have to go through the naming process that it has to go through with the names, Geographical Names Committee. So I'm sure they'll be able to assist us. I have a motion that's been moved with that alteration by Councillor Hunt, seconded by Councillor Melville. Do I have any against? Motion carried 8-0. Item 11.1.1.5, Delegated Planning, Building and Environmental Health Approvals and Orders, February 2014, with the officer's recommendation on page 46. Any points of clarification, councillors? Move, Councillor Hunt, seconded, Councillor De Cash. Do I have any against? Motion carried 8-0. We're now on page 57. Item 11.1.1.6, proposal for 12 multiple dwellings on lot 503 in brackets 31 Moore Street, Port Hedland, with the officer's recommendation commencing on page 63. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points are moved.
Moved, Councillor De Cash, seconded, Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? Yes, Speaker 4.
Oh, I reckon it's a great development, and we should go try to get as many as we can, and before the EPA finds out about it. But no, I reckon it's a great recommendation.
OK, speaker against.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. While I welcome all development in Port Hedland, I am concerned with the scale of the development and just how sort of massive and blocky it looks. And as I think as we manage going forward, that the kind of legacy that we're leaving with the development of the West End, that we want to make sure that we have aesthetically pleasing. I'd feel more comfortable if it was a smaller number of dwellings on the same lot.
Okay. Speaker four.
There's, in Moore Street, there's already one development that has gone up, and initially when it came before council, we were concerned with the blocking sort of look. Now that it is completed, it does look good, and as more and more of these developments come along that particular street in particular, I can see it becoming a quite a busy, activated street and all looking like we're building a city.
Great. Speaker against? Speaker for? Right of reply?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think our planning department does an excellent job last few years making sure that the buildings are aesthetically good looking for the town. And look, that can't be perfect every time, but what I've seen of the as Councillor Hunt said, that last one that's in Moore Street, that only looks fantastic, and I'm sure this one will look the same. So.
Okay, now the debate's concluded. I'll put it to a vote. Those in favour, a show of hands, please. Those against, a show of hands, please. Let the vote record 7-1. Thank you. Okay, item 11.1.1.7, proposed amendment to the purpose of reserve 8214 on lot 1 McGregor Street, Port Hedland, with the officer's recommendation on page 89. Do I have any points of clarification?
Points so moved.
Oops, sorry, this is the item. So we've got. Sorry, it's not it's confused with the next item, but we do actually have a stapled recommendation, so an alternate or an additional officer's recommendation on the stapled piece of paper.
Yep.
Councillors are comfortable. Are there any points of clarification? I'll have a mover for the piece that's on the stapled with the three parts to the recommendation. Move, Councillor Taylor. Seconded, Councillor Hunt. Do I have any against? Motion carried, 8-0. Right. I thought you were gently guiding me and reminding me on the next item, 11.1.1.8, temporary retrospective approval for an unauthorised hire service, in brackets industrial and incidental office, on 211 Steel Loop, Wedgefield. This item has been withdrawn. So now, councillors and members of the public, we are now on to page 124, item 11.3.1.1, endorsement for the town of Port Hedland to affiliate with the companion card program. Do I have any points of clarification? Moved, Councillor Taylor. Seconded, Councillor Hunt. Sorry, Councillor Gillingham. Any against? Motion carried, 8-0. Going to be very quick. She's back from holiday. She's very quick. Item 11.4.1.1, quarterly budget review December. With the officer's recommendation there, we have the acting chair of the Audit Finance Committee as well. Councillor Butson, did you want to add anything? You're okay?
So moved.
You're listening. Councillor DeCash, seconded by Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? Motion carried, 8-0. Yes, 8-0. Item 11.5.1.1, request for proposal 13-31 for travel management services. The officer's recommendation on page 138. Do I have any points of clarification? Moved, Councillor Hunt. Seconded, Councillor DeCash. Do I have any against? Motion carried, 8-0. Item 11.5.1.2, change of April 2014 ordinary council meeting date and cancellation of the March 2014 airport committee meeting, with the officer's recommendation on page 141. Any points of clarification? Move Councillor Hooper, second Councillor Gillingham. Do I have any against? Motion carried 8-0. Item 11.5.1.3, show of wage and recommendation on local government's amalgamation. The officer's recommendation on page 146. Do I have any points of clarification?
Just one quick one, ma'am. When's the schedule? When would you like a workshop? Through the chair to the CEO. The workshop for this, because can it be after 4 o'clock or something?
Yes, we can, when people are available. Well, yes,
that's okay. Yeah. I won't come. Thank you, Madam.
At a time that's more suitable for Councillor Cash. No. So,
so moved it.
Move Councillor Cash. Seconded Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? Motion carried 8-0.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll make sure everyone can attend. Item 11.5.1.4, PRC establishment agreement with the officer's recommendation on page 151. Do I have any points of clarification for this item?
No points on movement.
Move Councillor Cash, seconded Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? You're okay, Councillor Taylor?
No, I'm not against it.
Yep, great. Terrific. Motion carried 8-0. I just wasn't getting any eye contact, so I just thought just to check. Okay, item 12, late items as permitted by presiding members / council. We have two items, members of the public, we have two items to consider this evening. In this regard, item 12.1, oh, there it is, I'm ahead of myself, is the award of tender 14-04, Port Hedland International Airport Terminal Renovations, with the officer's recommendation there. Do I have any points of clarification? Okay, so before we move, we just need to insert the value. And I'm just grabbing my attachment so that we can do that, or if someone could help me. So it has to have the value of 465,497 plus GST. So moved, Councillor Hunt. Seconded, Councillor Butson. Do I have any against? Motion carried 8-0. Thank you. And now we also have item 12.2, minutes and council consideration of motions from the special electors meeting held on Wednesday the 19th of February, with the officer's recommendation there. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points of clarification, so moved.
Moved, Councillor Gillingham. Seconded, Councillor Taylor. Do I have any against? Motion carried 8-0. Thank you. Okay, item 13, reports of committees. Item 13.1.1, Audit and Finance Committee minutes from the 29th of January, with the officer's recommendation there. Do I have any points of clarification?
So moved.
Move, Councillor De Cash, seconded. Councillor Hooper, do I have any against? Motion carried 8-0. Okay, item 13.1.2, Airport Committee meeting minutes from the 5th of February 2014, with officers' recommendation 1, with the parts listed there. Do I have any points of clarification?
So moved.
Moved, Councillor Hunt. Seconded, Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? Motion carried 8-0. Thank you. Item 14, motions of which previous notice have been given. There are nil.
Through the chair, if I may request that I can put a motion for the next meeting in March.
Yes, please do.
Thank you very much. And it will read, and please help me if I do get this wrong, regarding the Audit and Finance Committee, it's that Council consider amending the terms of reference of the Audit and Finance Committee, and in doing so, advertise for an expression of interest for an additional committee member to become part of the Audit and Finance Committee.
Sure. So just make sure you're happy with that wording, yep. Councillor Gillingham. It is a motion of which previous notice has been given, so it doesn't need to be seconded or anything. You just need to be happy with that wording. And then you can assist in the writing of the report with the assistance of officers.
Yep, okay. Yep. Thank you very much.
You're happy?
Yes, thank you very much for that.
Any other motions of notice? Okay, item 15, confidential items, there are nil. Item 16, applications for leave of absence. Councillor Nakash.
Yes, ma'am. I'm pretty sure I said last meeting, but I think it was between the 24th and the 30th of March.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that.
We'll just get it down again, just in case. Councillor Gillingham.
I'm probably okay until the next meeting to be given, unless you want it ahead of time.
No.
Thank you.
Councillor Hooper.
Fine, thank you.
Councillor Hunt.
I'm just back from holiday, so now I'll be here for until the next meeting, and then I might.
We weren't going to approve any anyway. Councillor Taylor?
Yes, please, Madam Mayor. From the 23rd of April to the 19th of May.
Councillor Butson?
No, thank you.
Councillor Melbourne?
Nothing at this stage, Madam.
And just like to tender for Councillor Van Voort, 27th of February to the 15th of April. And with those applications for leave of absence, can I have a mover? Move Councillor Hooper, seconded Councillor Melville. Do I have any against? Motion carried, 8-0. Okay, the date of the next meeting, the next ordinary meeting of Council, will be held on Wednesday the 26th of March, commencing at 5:30 p.m, with an agenda briefing session being held on Wednesday the 19th of March, commencing at 3:30 p.m. We also, as you saw from the late items, have a special council meeting on Wednesday the 19th of March at 6:30 p.m. And if you are most welcome, and if you would like to stay, please do, because at 7:30 we have our annual general electors meeting. So that will be recommencing here at 7:30 tonight, if you're interested. But thank you, members of the public, councillors and staff. And please remain here till 7:30, councillors.